What did Jeremiah mean? That's an Old Testament prophet. What did Jeremiah mean in the 32nd chapter? 18th verse, when he says, our Lord God, great in counsel, mighty in work, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt unto this day. Now, in Abraham's day, you could walk out on a high rise in Israel, and you could see the pyramid of Egypt glistening in the sun because the white marble was still on it. In Jeremiah's day, he's saying that God set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. He said, well, that could be anything. Well, let's get more specific before I start on this that some people think is weird. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 19. Printed Sunday night. Those who believe the Bible believe that Isaiah is talking about last day events, prophesying right down to the end. And he says, in that day, that's the last days, shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. Now, altars could be for witness or testimony, or altars could be places of sacrifice. This verse makes clear that the altar being spoken of here in Egypt is one of testimony. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. Now, what is that? Now, Egypt's one of the few countries in the world you can say border and center of at the same time. Because Egypt was always divided into Upper and Lower Egypt. In fact, you who know your history know that the color of the cap worn by the pharaoh determined whether or not the pharaoh was the ruler of Upper or Lower Egypt. Here's a picture in this little book I'm looking at that draws a line right through the center of Egypt. Upper Egypt is up the Nile, the direction my finger is moving. Lower Egypt is the Nile Delta. And right at the middle, at the border thereof and the center thereof, either what Isaiah is talking about is the Great Pyramid, or is there going to be one whale of a rock-moving job to clear the location. Now, those of you who know Old Testament, in fact, there is a section of Jewish theology that overemphasizes this. You know that unlike the English language that has letters for words and numerals for numbers, Greek and Hebrew, for example, the letters are the numbers. So every letter in the Hebrew alphabet is also a number. That means every verse has a numerical value as well as a word meaning. And there are scholars in the Jewish faith that spend their life trying to find those numerical meanings to a point of extreme, particularly in certain extreme sections or sects of the Kabbalah. Let me show you something interesting also in this little book. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
You all know this. You've been around this before. If you take that Great Pyramid text that I just read you and take the Hebrew words, this Great Pyramid text description, the original Hebrew, contains 30 words. Each of the letters in those words have numerical value. For example, the first word has four letters with a numerical value of 2, 10, 6, and 40, for a total of 58 in the first word. The second word has four letters having a numerical value of 5, 5, 6, and 1, for a total of 17. You go through every single word. In total, the numerical value of each of the 30 words that comprise the text, and 30 is rather significant too, and you come up with a total of 5,449. Now, what's significant about that? Well, from the base of the pyramid to the summit platform, the top of it, is exactly 5,449 pyramid inches. And what are pyramid inches? I'm boring. Isn't it fun for all you folks to see what an expert you are? What you ought to start doing now is figuring out how to tell somebody else. Watch me. We're talking to people tonight that think I'm straight off of... No, they'll believe I came from 23,000 miles out. What is a pyramid inch? Well, during the days of great enlightenment, the French figured out that the way to get a standard of measurement is to measure from the North Pole, this is also in this book, to the equator along the surface of the globe. Well, the surface is uneven. That produces a standard of measurement very unpredictable when you move into the vast reaches of space. Now we have the scientific equipment to measure from the North Pole to the South Pole. And if you do a line, figuratively, right through the center of the Earth from North Pole to South Pole, you don't have the deviations of the surface. This can be measured. You postulate a line from the North Pole to the South Pole and divide it into exactly 500 million equal units. Just take that line from the North Pole to the South Pole and divide it into 500 million equal units. One of those units, 1/500 millionth of the distance from North to South Pole through the center of the Earth, is what we call the pyramid inch. We call it the pyramid inch because it was discovered that that inch was used in all the key measurements of the building of the pyramid. We discover subsequently that that unit of measure just happens to be exactly 1/500 millionth of the distance from North-South Pole, because it's the unit built into the universe. You use the meter system and start figuring distances in space, you're going to miss a star. You use this unit, you'll find it's the building block of the universe. How'd they know that? How'd they know that 4,000 years ago plus? Now, something rather interesting to those that want to change the British and American system to the metric system is that you will find this unit of measurement in two other places. The British inch and the American inch are a half, a hair's breadth off from this unit of measure. Somebody carried it one way or the other, one way or the t'other. How do they know that? Furthermore, this pyramid, this is also in this book. I really want to give Craig apoplexy tonight. In the Middle Ages, they were still thinking the Earth was flat. This pyramid is a mathematical replica of an exact half of the Earth. And in this pyramid, pi was built into the measurements, when it wasn't supposed to be discovered until the Middle Ages. But pi is built into the measurements of the pyramid. And the height of the pyramid has the exact same ratio to the distance around it as the radius of a circle does to the circumference of the circle. It's an exact replica. Furthermore, this pyramid was built in such a way that there are three separate measurements built into it permanently. You can find that picture in this little book, interesting little book. If I don't find this, I'm going to write one myself. One of those measurements around the base of the pyramid. Hold on, I'll get it for you. There you are. Now, the base of the pyramid, as gigantic as it is, has socket stones, and then the pyramid itself was built with a curved-in surface. So you end up with measurements built into the pyramid from A to B, for example. Follow my finger closely with the camera. You have from A, E, F, B. And then you have from A to the concave section in here out to B. You have different measurements within the pyramid. All of those measurements gave thousands of years ago the exact circumference of the earth, the 3 years by which we determine year. There is the solar year, 365 days and a quarter. But there is also another year that is determined by returning to an exact position and relationship to a star. And then the earth has an elliptical orbit as it goes around the sun, and there's what's called perihelion, which is that point when the earth is the closest to the sun in its elliptical orbit. These 3 years are called the anomalistic, the sidereal, and the solar year. Astronomers know this. The distances permanently encased in stone in this pyramid reflect those three calendars. They knew all three of them. It was lined up to true north. You know how hard it is to line up true north? True north, not magnetic north. Talk show man can put furs on, go up there and walk around magnetic north. True north is a position in relationship to a star out there in the precession of the heavens. If you view this room as the vault of the heavens, and the earth as a camera, and me as the sun, the camera going around me as I look through it, if the camera's over here, it looks at that wall. If the camera's over there, it looks at that wall. As I sight from the earth through this camera, turn it around. Let me be the sun, or let me be the earth, and the camera be the sun. As I sight through that camera to a different wall, it's like looking at different sections of the sky. Now, the earth, as it rotates on its axis, wobbles. And that wobble, like a top that's slowing down, makes an extension like a rum line of true north. The north pole, in essence, will go around in a little circle and draw a little circle in the vault of the heavens. And every 2,000 years, that little wobble takes 26 to 28,000 years for it to do its full wobble. While the earth's going around the sun elliptically, and the universe is moving, and the earth's spinning on its axis, and you take the pole and push it right straight on out into the heavens, at a fixed time, it hits a certain star. Right now, Polaris is the North Star. 2,000 years go by, and another star becomes the North Star. And 2,000 more years go by, and another North Star, more or less. 26 to 28,000 years, they call it the precession of the equinoxes as the wobble makes its full turn. And a new North Star comes in focus as the Earth revolves on its orbit. You push that north clear out there in space, which is an extension of that North Pole, is an invisible line straight out into the skies, and the ball of the heaven, it'll point to a different star at a given time. To 2600 years ago plus are the various dates given for the building of the pyramid. Some Scottish scientists discovered that in the passages that are inside the pyramid. Now, all the other pyramids, people said they were for tombs. Well, everybody is wrong. All the other pyramids have passages that descend. This is the only one. For example, here's some pictures of some of the pyramids. The Great Pyramid, I'm talking about the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, have passages going down, going down, going down, going down. This Great Pyramid is interesting. It has a passage going down and turns horizontal to a dead end, to the pit. It also has passages going up, a narrow passage, and then an expanded passage, then horizontal passages, and two chambers, one called the Queen's Chamber, one called the King's Chamber. Then there's a little hole dug all the way from here, exploding outward into the passages up above. These intricate passages have intrigued people for years. Now, the other pyramids got dead bodies in them. Nobody's ever found a body in this one. The theory that it's a tomb has long since been blown apart. And these passages are very interesting, because as you go down the downward passage, this passage at an exact point in time was lined up exactly 2141 BC with the dragon constellation in the period when the North Star was Thuban. Now, I read in the Omni magazine last week, some fellow named Dick Walker said that can't be true, because at 2800 BC, Thuban's rays would not shine down this passageway. Well, it was 2141 BC. I'm not saying 800 and 400 and 4 got done, everybody got confused. Now that I'm looking at it, I knew it's right. 2800 is quite a distance from 2141 BC. In 2141 BC, this passage, and you got a bigger picture in this book. What's the matter with us? Got to be a bigger picture somewhere. There it is. Now, let's show that picture. At 2141 BC, the North Star Thuban, in September of that year, the rays of the North Star Thuban would shine straight down. If you had a pool of water at the bottom of this passage, it would reflect the star at noonday. Because with that kind of a tunnel-type telescope, you could differentiate the star from the surrounding atmosphere. This pyramid was not only lined up to true north, but its north face was so coordinated to the North Star that in 2141 B.C., let me get a pencil, in 2141 B.C., the North Star was Thuban in the Dragon constellation, and its light would shine perfectly down this, all the way down. Now, we have the modern astronomical tools to determine the position of those stars in 2141 B.C. A year either side, and it wouldn't shine. That's the precession of the equinoxes. The explorers, Scottish explorers at the time, discovered marker stones as they went down this passage that the old Arab had dug into thinking he'd find gold. And exactly coordinated with marker stones was a marker perpendicular to this walkway that if you shot it off into space, it coordinated with Alcyone in the Pleiades. Only once do you fishermen in Kansas get out, go fishing or out in the fields. You can line up coordinates two ways. Do you fishermen down in Tennessee, the way you find a bass bed is you line up a couple of snags two different ways, and you can go to that same spot on the lake and find it. You don't need a marker. And that way you don't give away the fishing spot to other fishermen. This whirling globe going around the sun at exactly 2141 B.C. had coordinates built into it capable of being found that said clearly that this was a benchmark date, that no other year would these two line up that way. Now, the interpreters, the Omni article was right. The interpreters have said, this is to say that at that date, this old globe was under the influence, the evil influence of Thuban, which means subtle, Satan, to the Christians. Now, if you take the pyramid inch, 1/500 millionth of the distance from north to south pole, which is the building block built in. When you get in the pyramid and really study it, there's an antechamber here that's like a map room that really lays down in three places that the controlling measuring unit of the pyramid is that pyramid inch. Interestingly enough, come to me for a second. That's the unit of measurement used to build the Ark of the Covenant. That's the unit of measurement used to build Solomon's Temple. And I'm not a Mason, but that fact is true. That is the unit that Ezekiel, as he prophesies a temple to be built in the millennium, he specifies it must be the long cubit. 25 of these pyramid inches, sometimes called the sacred inch. So you find this inch reflected in the pyramid. You find it reflected in the holy instruments built by the Hebrews. And you find it with just 1/2 hair's breadth deviation in the measuring unit of the United States and Great Britain. Now, you call that an accident if you want. I think it's interesting. Now, if you take this unit and consider 1 inch equal to 1 year, you can go back from this benchmark to a date that would be equivalent to the opening and beginning of the dates in the pyramid. You follow this down inch by inch on the floor, and there's nothing ambiguous about it. An inch is an inch. You follow the inches backwards. The opening is postulated at 26-23 B.C. You follow that inch forward, counting off 1 year for an inch. You come to a passage that turns upward. Exactly 1453 B.C. Now, for years, people dated the Exodus out of Egypt in the 12th century, 13th century at the earliest. The pyramid said 1453 B.C. Now, I'm not a nut. I'm a historic churchman. I want you to understand that. I've already told you, I did a PhD at Stanford in philosophy of education. But I've got an inquiring mind, and I'm not willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater just because some nuts have taken pyramidology and gone crazy with it. This place fascinates me. And I know that since I've been teaching on it, there are more people taking tours to Egypt, and including Egypt in their tour, than they ever did. You're wasting your money, folks. Wait till I can take you and teach you something about it. Now, Bilakovsky, the controversial writer Bilakovsky, who wrote Worlds in Collision, he also wrote a book about the Exodus in which he looked at the Amarna tablets and the relatively recent archaeological finds that he's identified, and others have too, as expressing the Egypt side of the events that relate to the Exodus. The only records, if the kinds of events that are described as going on in Egypt in the Bible when the Israelites came out of Egypt really occurred, archaeology, as it's grown as a science since the first digs at Pompeii, has certainly uncovered something. Somewhere. Well, Velikovsky's written an entire book, Ages and Chaos, in which he has taken the Amarna letters and has interpreted them and parallelized, to make up a word, them with the scriptural account, so that we're looking at the same events from two sides of the coin, the Egyptian side, the Bible being the Hebrew side. He has come within 6 years of this date in his dating of the Exodus. And archaeology and history has finally moved the date to conform to the 15th century instead of the 12th century is the date of the Exodus and out of Egypt. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
I am in the middle of talking about the pyramid. I dare to tread where nuts are fed. There's a lot of subjects that everybody's scared to talk about because there have been so many nuts in the territory. Well, I don't believe the baby should go out with the bathwater, and I'm fascinated with the pyramid in Egypt. I mean, they moved 70,000 pound rocks around, fitted them together with such precision that it would take modern optical instruments to cut them, and poured cement, even though they were fitted that tightly, until you couldn't put razor blades in there between them. They poured cement 36 square feet vertical. Bechtel Corporation couldn't build it. Lined it up to True North. A few years ago, somebody figured out it was a little bit off of True North, and they were really having a field day until they discovered that the ground had shifted. It wasn't a pyramid. It incorporates, as I told the folks in the earlier hour, all three of the calendar years, the sidereal, the solar, and the anomalistic. It incorporates the distance from the earth to the sun. It incorporates in its measurements, clear to be seen, the circumference of the earth. Its measuring unit is 1/500,000,000 of the distance from the north to the south pole, and it was so perfectly lined up that its inner passages opened by that Arab seeking gold that in 2141 B.C., get the camera here, these inner passages of the pyramid on which no one of the kinds of drawings of heathen worship was ever included. It's Sunday night. I do something different every other night. But Sunday night, I'm trying to offer something to compensate for the verbal beatings that have been dished out all day to Christians. I think you ought to have some good news. Now, in 2141 B.C., exactly, and there's modern instruments to check it now, a scored marker line that is the benchmark of these interior passages pointed straight to Alcyone, in the Pleiades, which God commends as blessed when he talked to Job. And if you extend this descending passage straight out into space, it hit the then north star, Thuban, in the dragon or devil constellation. Taking the pyramid inch, 1/500,000,000 of the diameter of the earth, and moving forward 1 inch at a time, with the benchmark year being 2141 B.C., the floor of this ascending passage will meet the floor of the descending passage at exactly 1453 B.C. And why is that? Keep going, you get on down, hit a level spot, move across to a pit that's upside down, and then to a dead end. Now, as archaeology began to break the hieroglyphics and then cuneiform, it was discovered, we got Napoleon's invasion of Egypt to thank for this, that one of his soldiers found the Rosetta Stone that enabled others to decipher the hieroglyphics and discover they were not just pictures of cave dwellers drawing artistically on the wall, but they represented an actual alphabet. They then were able to decipher what came to be called the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Now, the Egyptian Book of the Dead was not a book about dead people, but buried with the Egyptians was a scroll that had writings on it. Because it was found buried with the dead, they called it the Book of the Dead. Ancient, yet it talked of the pyramid, and it spoke of the pyramid as a temple of light.